thank you very much, and thank you for being here at this late and early hour. I'm gonna try and reason about what was mentioned before as the Giddens paradox, which has been getting most of my interest in recent times. And I think that most of the questions that are being asked and debated today are about some kind of problem that we have in our knowledge production chain, or in the way we create knowledge, and in the deepest frameworks and assumptions that we take for granted and never criticize. So, as you can see, even scientists are looking for new conceptual frameworks, as nowadays we don't have something that can allow us to understand a process, an evolutionary process in which things find a dynamic equilibrium with one another. So we have to try and find it. I think that this has to do with what Beck called the metamorphosis, and to try and understand this point, I'm going to talk about a little about paradigm. As you can say, this is from Edgar Morin, which is something in his vision that has mainly to do with master concepts of intelligibility, and also in the determination of master logical operations. What does this mean? This means that according to a paradigm, we prefer some kind of logical operations that become preponderant and pertinent, and in the end seem to us natural, the way thought should be organized, but are so deep down inside our way of looking at the world, inside our Weltanschauung, that we take them for granted and we never try to change them. Now, the great problem is that we chose somewhere along the line to give privilege to the operation of disjunction. This is why we have lots and lots of dichotomies that define ourselves and our being in the world, our place in the world, and our relation to the world. No, that's to say, we are used to divide nature and culture, subject and object, soul, body, mind, matter, whatever you need. And I think that this is one of the main reasons why we are so able to talk about things, but we don't get to do them. That is to say that I think of reason and our deeper level of awareness as something that has not so tight, such tight links with one another. That is to say, we talk about the importance of going beyond some kind of human exceptionalism and all the things that were said before, but actually we don't get to act on this kind of conviction. We stick to what we were used to do, and we keep on separating things, and we keep on trying to understand a world which is totally interconnected and has lots of dynamic equilibria by tools that are totally inadequate to this kind of situation. That was clear since the beginning of the idea of ecology. As you can see, this is the main citation from Haeckel that defined ecology, the totality of the sciences of relations of the organism to the environment. That's to say that in what has to do with the environment, with ecology, the great Western paradigm, the idea of the continuous division, the Spaltung, we can say, is going to crash, because we cannot understand our place in the world and the fact that we are active parts of this global equilibrium if we don't get to think in some other ways. So if you want to bear with me a few minutes longer, I say that one of the main problems we are encountering is the fact that we think of the world, of the environment, of the universe, as something that has the same status of the things that are inside it. This is not so easy to understand, but if you think about the idea that the universe could be thought in some different ways, that's to say, it could be thought of as the precondition of the existence of every other thing and living being, and so it should not be treated as another thing among other things, because this subjects it to the hierarchy that we are used to build on the basis of the way in which we understand the world today. That is to say, that we understand the world as a range of objects that have to be useful, that have to serve our means, that have to are at our disposition or disposal, if you want. And this it makes it harder to understand or find new ways to cope with what is happening. Especially, we have to reason about these two things, some few things, I'd say. Universe, cosmos, world, environment are all tricky terms that are reassuring, of course, but seem and suggest to establish a similitude between what they define and what is intraworldly, what is in the world. Yes, by doing so we can bridge a cognitive gap, but in this way we are led to think of the environment as just a thing among things. Now, this is a bit tough, because if we think of our everyday experience, of our life experience, we have to admit that the idea of world is something hard to describe. I've been living 60 years and I've seen lots of places, but I don't think that I ever experienced something as the world. So we should try to shift our focus and try to understand the idea that the world might be something that goes beyond our usual ways of thinking and outside our toolbox. That's to say that when you look at Fink, which I find it interesting in this, you will see that what constitutes the difficulty and severity of the problem for human understanding is that it is always tempted to think the difference between the whole and that which intraworldly, a difference that belongs to the prevalence of the world itself, on the model of a difference between things, and thus must perpetually experience the failure of every approach of this sort. The world is not in the world. So if we apply this even to the universe, we might try to think that our way of understanding the environment, the world, the universe, is a way that has been tailored on our being human, on our particular conceptions of our exceptionalism, and so it's in a way biased on them. So perhaps we should try and think that the universe in itself has no beginning and no end, even if our scientists and our physicians are telling us that it started a few zillions years ago and whatever it is. The problem in this case could be that we could try and understand its existence as a purposeless finality, as a few scientists are saying now. That's to say, something that it's perpetually happening, the becoming of the biosphere and of the universe, and that could give us a place to start thinking anew about the problem of the of our place in the world and of our politics on the world. I know this is hardly easy. I know it's probably some kind of utopian thinking, but I think that it is high time to try and think differently, because as has been shown quite clearly until now, what we have been thinking until now is not working. And I thank you very much for your attention.